I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Amazing FBA, somewhere approaching 400 episodes and certainly podcasting for just over 4 years. And just when you think you've seen it all, there's some new exciting possibilities turn up in the Amazon world. So today, very, very excited to explore really, I think, a very new business model in some ways compared to private label, but also very, very interchangeable with or blendable with it, as far as I understand. So our guest today is Dan Medders. He's a multi-million dollar Amazon seller and founder of The Wholesale Formula. Dan, warm welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Michael. Looking forward to sharing with your audience, man.
If you're watching the video, I'm laughing now because, like, in case you're wondering which company you're from, the Wholesale Formula is just like casually streamed behind you 10 million times. So tell us, first of all, what do you mean by wholesale? We'll obviously get into your background and who you are and everything about how you became a multi-million dollar seller. We've got to dig into that. But what do you mean by wholesale in the context of Amazon?
Sure. It's actually an interesting question because whenever we developed our course, it's almost like it makes our model difficult to explain. So what we mean by wholesale, or I'll start with what traditional sellers mean by wholesale and kind of how we made that evolution into the way we work. So traditionally speaking, wholesale is purchasing products in a business-to-business capacity. So typically a larger box, either a distributor or wholesale company, and then reselling those products at retail. So for us, that model didn't necessarily work initially, and it was, yeah, we'll jump into it with our story, but we didn't have the capital to compete with other sellers that were doing that. So we took a slightly different approach, and our model is directly connecting with a manufacturer and helping them increase the sales of their product on Amazon by being a retailer of those products. So, you know, where that varies a little bit versus your traditional wholesaler is that they, you know, the common thread is that we both purchase products via wholesale. That's how we acquire our products. But typically it's far more common for someone to purchase products and just be a seller of those products and not really work directly with the brands. They, you know, it's the value in the relationship is I buy your goods and then I sell them. And whenever we were moving into the model, it wasn't effective for us. We didn't have a giant budget. We couldn't place larger orders. We couldn't access the discount tiers that we needed to. So what we did is we turned our focus to, instead of saying, you know, we just want to sell your products, we looked at the ways that we could help them perform better in the marketplace. Because as everybody knows, Amazon is a massively growing marketplace. I think last year, it was around 50 to 55% of all e-commerce sales in the United States. And whenever you think about the audience that they're reaching through their listings, it's very, very important that they're not only optimized and acquiring new customers, because, you know, the fact of the matter is there's going to be more people that see their product on Amazon in a given day than see it in any single store that they have ever stocked. Like the amount of foot traffic that walk into a store pales in comparison to the amount of people that can see your product online. And whenever we started thinking about that, it was like, wow, we could really provide a lot of value to these companies because we understand Amazon, we understand optimization, we understand how to have a professional, amazing experience. So we combined that with our ability to find great products and just started positioning ourselves in partnerships where we were working actively with the brand to grow their Amazon presence while we were also a retailer of those products.
Okay, so lots to absorb there. So so the traditional resale, the wholesale, when you you know, got in touch to get on the show, I thought, well, okay, wholesale, that's an interesting alternative model. I know there's a couple of members of the masterminds we've got in London who are pretty serious people. One of them has been doing a wholesale-based traditional kind of thing where they buy from distributors, as you say, quite high order quantities, getting price discounts because of that, and then retailing it, gone through various iterations, has ended up on Amazon, doing about, you know, a couple of million pounds a year or whatever that is in US dollars, 2.5 or something. And then there's another member of the mastermind who's doing like 80% of his business probably is the wholesale stuff as well. And he's introducing more private label as a more defensible, more brand building. But this, what you're talking about, is really quite a different model. So quite exciting. I mean, one of the things you mentioned is the capital requirements that are needed for that kind of business model. And indeed, of course, for a private label, we were just talking about it off air, weren't we, just before we went on, that the numbers can end up quite big quite quickly. So before we dig into the details of how to do it, obviously sounds very attractive. What have you found? Why bother doing it? What results have you got from this that you thought you can get another way?
No, I mean, we can look at where my life is, and you know, I don't want to say that it's easy to get here, right? But it is attainable. So the most amazing part of our business model is it's directly governed by systems and processes, which means that once you have someone who can competently fill that process, you don't really have to do it anymore, right? So in our business, we've worked through various models, and all those led us to the question of, does this business give us what we actually want? Like, you have to kind of decide early on in your business what your goals are. Is it to make is it just to make millions and millions and millions of dollars? Or is it to be able to provide yourself with an amazing lifestyle and that gives you real freedom? And because those are two starkly different things, right? Like, you know, the composition of those businesses is vastly different. So early on in our careers, that was confusing for us, because it was, we thought the path to freedom was the money that could be generated. You know, ultimately we've made some shifts and turns in our business that have re-engineered us to that idea and what we want out of our business. So, you know, as it stands right now, if you do this business, you can set yourself up to like ours. So my day responsibilities on the Amazon side are nothing. Like, I don't have a day-to-day role in our Amazon business. We have employees. We have two domestic employees and two virtual assistants that are based in the Philippines that handle all the day-to-day operations for our Amazon account. Now, that's not to say like I don't have any involvement. To give you an example, we're always working back and forth with manufacturers to develop agreements. And, you know, our employees yesterday, this just happened yesterday, where it came in with a proposed agreement, asked me to review it and look at what we really want to extract out of that relationship, as well as the value we can deliver. So, you know, I helped them retool that agreement, but you know, that's one time every two or three weeks whenever they run into a complicated matter. This business can be built to be it's not truly passive version of income, but it can be a far more passive version than most people are used to, while also delivering a sizable amount of profit. You know, like our business typically produces, you know, and we're not, I don't think we're a common case for what it's worth. I don't, I'll touch more as we dive into the story. Like, our business right now operates at about an average margin of about 20 to 25%. And that's net margin. Like, you know, that's for us, that in terms of a cash flow business, think about it. I have probably one to 3 hours per week obligated to that business. And it produces me, if you're speaking in terms of ROI, it's producing 35 to 40% ROIs on a month-to-month basis. Like, honestly, I can't think of a better business model that gives you as much freedom as I'm allowed, that can produce that much profit. Because, like, if you look at other models, like, you know, private label, there's a lot more direct input, right? Like, you have to make a lot more decisions in those models when you're developing a product or designing packaging or creating listings. Like, we don't have to do any of that. So the things that fall into regular course of business is taking an existing listing that's already performing really well and has an established baseline for sales and just making it better. And if we're doing that, you know, if we're making it better, then we're solving the needs of our partners, and those are the manufacturers that we work with. But we're also making ourselves additional income and a steady, predictable stream of income, most importantly.
Again, lots to take in. But I mean, the first thing is defining what you want is a very, very good point. And I think most people, I do know some people are ravenly ambitious, and the business creators and the brand creators, they're a different breed. And I think I know some of those, and they're very exciting people. And it's a great thing to be if that's who you are. But I think trying to turn yourself into, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, if really what you want is not as you said, not so much a passive income, but a much more effective use of your time in terms of generating cash flow. There's nothing wrong with that either. By the way, I think there's nothing wrong with just getting a day job if that's your thing. I mean, some people make a fetish of being an entrepreneur like it's a religion, and certainly in the States, but also in certain parts of the UK. Like I live in London, it's almost like a given that you should be an entrepreneur. And actually, that's not always the case. But I like the fact, clarifying what you want, but also the emphasis on systems and processes, I think is great. And I suspect that half of your wins have come from the fact, not just the fact that it's the wholesale versus private label, and we'll dig into what that means, but the fact that you've systematized everything. Because even people doing several million dollars a year with private label, in my experience, a lot of them end up very, very hands-on, partly because they're the kind of people that want to be, but partly because they really haven't taken seriously enough the systematization piece. So it'd be great to dig into that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like whenever we were looking at it, it's, I didn't want to create myself a high-paying job. Like my goal was to spend more time with my kids and provide them with experiences that I didn't get to experience as a child. Like, and, and over the past, I can honestly say over the past 2 years that's been the most exciting thing. And my kids have got to do things that it's crazy. Like, one weekend, to give you an example, 1 week right before school started, I was like, tell me one thing you just really want to do. I don't care what it is. Just tell me what you want to do. And my daughter was like, you know what I would love to go to? She's nine. And I got a 9 and a 4-year-old daughter. And my 9-year-old was like, I would love to go to Los Angeles and go see Santa Monica Pier. So that day, I called down at the office, and I was like, hey guys, I'm not going to be in tomorrow or the rest of the week. And I literally booked a ticket to Los Angeles and took my daughters to Los Angeles for the rest of the week. And that's, that's the kind of freedom that I've always wanted. I want the ability to help my kids truly experience life and also position them to be, to have that mindset for freedom, right? Like I want them to be happy. And that's what this business provides. It provides the ability to walk away whenever I want. It provides the ability, another example is we decided earlier this year, and we tied a cool little promotion in with it, but that we were going to take our entire company on a vacation for 2 weeks to the Dominican Republic. Like, all of our employees and everything. And whenever we were there, we only had one rule, and it was we don't talk shop about our business. Like, we're there to have fun. And if you guys need to get stuff done, you can, at the end of the day, we're there to have fun and grow as a team. And over that course of the 2 weeks, we never talked about our business a single time. It was funny. I was talking to you in the pre-show, and I told you, I've not opened my Amazon account in 2 years, like personally, and to dive into it, because everything is a system. I'm able to get the exact information I want all the time and make decisions based on it. I don't have to dive deep. I don't have to be hands-on. And to me, that's the lifestyle I want, is I want to be able to affect growth and affect change, but also live a life that provides a lot of value to myself and my children as well.
Okay, wow. So you're painting an incredibly attractive picture. So there's going to be two obvious questions. Obviously, the first one is like, how do we do this? But just before we get into that, I want to see where you came from. Because if you started off a multimillionaire, this has not been much of a journey, obviously, right? So give us a quick background as to where you are, a few years ago before you came into this business model and how life was for you then.
Well, I truly got started with this back in 2011. And I worked for an online retail company that sold magic cards, Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards, stuff like that on their website. And we saw incredible growth when I was there. So like, and I definitely played a fair role in that. Like I got to experience a lot of the business. I got to see a lot of the insights and how to build a business. And the owner is an absolutely amazing person. He's still actually one of my best friends today. So whenever I got a lot of experience in that business, and I was there after college for about 5 years. And we went from, $1.5 million a year in sales on our website to 25 million a year in that period. So it was, I got to see the staff grow from, I was the 13th employee to 200 people. So it gave me a lot of perspective on how to grow a business. But whenever we got started, it's kind of interesting. We got started in I guess maybe June or July of 2011, whenever one of the chief officers in the company came in. And bear in mind, we live in a really small town. I think we have about 7,000 to 10,000 people. Like, there's more cows here than humans. But whenever we got started, you know, there's not a lot of jobs in our area that pay what he was getting paid. This guy was making well over six figures. And he came in one day and he's like, "Hey guys, you know, I want to go ahead and give my notice." And I was like, "Whoa, what is going on? How is this happening?" And he said he was making more money selling on Amazon part-time than he was at his job. And he, you know, he's like, "I would rather just wake up and work for my house and do what I want all day." And I was like, "Wow, no, I mean, it's really cool." So he kind of showed us a little bit about Amazon and got us started down that path. So we started with retail arbitrage. And in December of 2011, I ended up getting terminated from that job. And it was absolutely crushing. Like, I remember I went to my office because we had, at that point, we had a little office where we had drop off all the stuff we were buying through retail arbitrage. And if you guys have retail arbitrage folks out, or people out there who don't know what that means, it just means buying things in a store and then reselling it online at a profit. We got started that way. And I had a lot of unfortunate events that kind of happened to me before I'd gotten fired. Like, I had a great job. I had, you know, in theory, I made great money. But like, I was always really afraid of debt because it ravaged my mom, like absolutely ravaged her. She overspent on credit cards, and I got to see just how tough that can be on people. And I was always terrified of it. So I would pay things off all the time. So like, I had bought my house. I had bought my car, bought my wife's car, paid her student loans off. And then like, I had replaced the HVAC in my house. I had to replace a roof, which is super expensive. And my basically, like when I got terminated, my bank account was completely depleted. I had about $3,000 or something like that in my bank account to support my family. And I had a brand new one-year-old baby and, you know, just all the bills you would expect. And God, it was crushing. Like, I went over there, I cried forever. And then I decided, like, you know, I just have to be moving forward. And I decided I was going to tell my wife, because I didn't want to terrify her, that I had quit my job. So I went home. I was like, "Hey, you know, I'm really excited about this whole Amazon thing. I quit my job today." And she was like, "Yes, go back and get it back. You need to go back today and get your job back." And I had to kind of like fake that bravado, right? Like, no, it's really, we're okay. I promise. Like, we're going to grow. But I didn't have the option to go get my job back. And we got started, and we utilized, because I couldn't use money out of our account because we only had $3,000. So I went and I got a little credit card for $600. And we started doing retail arbitrage. We would pay it up, pay it off whenever we get our Amazon drops, and just grew our business pretty organically that way. And we did we were working our tails off. Like, and our budget grew really fast because we were making good product decisions. And within that first year, we did about $850,000 in sales and probably made a profit of $250,000. Like, it was a really good year for us, you know, from actual nothing. And but as you know, with physical products, a lot of that profit is reinvested consistently in the products. Like, we weren't able to just take money and set it to the side. Like, it was a constant reinvestment. So the next year, we decided we were going to work really, really hard, even harder, and try to make more money. And despite all the extra effort, like, we were probably working 70-hour weeks, we just, you know, we weren't putting that much more money in our bank. It was, I think we ended that year at like $950,000 because we were using the same strategies, going out, finding our product. And I remember it was actually that Thanksgiving that it like really hit me. You know, it was Black Friday here. You know, I don't know if you guys have Black Friday in the UK. But Black Friday here is the biggest, the biggest shopping holiday of the year, big discounts, crazy stuff for retail arbitragers. If you're not out there shopping on Black Friday, then you're just missing a whole massive opportunity. Well, in the United States, like, they start Black Friday early on Thursday, like at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or something like that, which means you have to miss Thanksgiving. And I remember that Thanksgiving dinner where I was getting ready to go out to work and I was sitting there looking at my kids and they were just like, "You can't stay just for an hour." And like, I'm like tearing up thinking about it right now. And the whole time we were out on that trip, we were just talking about, you know, it's this thing. You know, what happens if I can't work 70-hour weeks? Like, my income goes down. So we decided to make a shift into other models, and we tried a few things and failed. Like, we opened up a retail store locally, and you know, it was a terrible idea. It doesn't have enough foot traffic, and ultimately we sold it. And then we started a website that sold a My Little Pony collectibles. And it was because we watched a cool documentary about My Little Pony, and we knew known that we'd been selling My Little Pony stuff a lot on Amazon. Like every time we'd put stuff in stock, it would sell like crazy. And so we started a website. It was actually not terribly, you know, it was reasonably successful. Like it produced profit even in the early stages. But it wasn't a passion for us. It wasn't as scalable for us. Like we didn't have the infrastructure. We didn't have the knowledge to drive traffic to that specific website. We weren't marketers. We were sellers. So ultimately we sold that business. We actually made a little bit of money, but not a lot. Whenever we sold it, but it still left us in that same position of having to grind our lives away. And just for the dollars we were making. And we decided we'd try private label. And our very first private label product was very, very successful. Like, you know, that's one of the things we're pretty good at, is we've always had a pretty good knack for picking products. And that was it. We didn't have any skills. Like we weren't great at creating listings. We weren't great at advertising our products, but we found a really good product. And in the first 3 or 6 months, we probably made $200,000 in profit. So it was a real hit. I mean, it was a really, really good product and really well positioned. But ultimately, whenever competition started showing up, these competitors were far more skilled than we were. So they were outranking us, and that product eventually dropped off. And then we tried to launch subsequent products. And, you know, we had one that fell straight on its face immediately. We had another one that had moderate success. We had another one that had that was break even plus a few dollars. Like, you know, it wasn't consistent for us. Like no matter what we did, we couldn't create consistency, and it was because we didn't have those skills. So then we started looking at other models that leveraged the same ideologies as private label, right? Like the ideology of private label is I create a product, it comes to me, then I'm just selling that product. And that was what I wanted. I wanted a way to scale my time. And we kind of found wholesale and didn't know how to do it. Like had no idea what we were doing. You know, it was kind of funny because I had the experience from my other job with wholesale just a little bit, but I had it from a different perspective. Like every company in the space wanted to do business with us because we were an established company. Now, as in this new position, I didn't have any real marketable experience to talk to these people about. And we purchased a lot from distributors. So that was the first track we did, is we researched, you know, how to start selling wholesale. And we Googled it, and it said, find a list of distributors. And we did that. Here's a list of shows. We figured out we might be able to go to a couple of them. And ultimately got started that way. And then we would get these gigantic catalogs of crap, and we would have to go through and determine if there were sellable products. And the vast majority of the time there wasn't, or the margin was really depressed. And it was just like, what? And, you know, how can we make this work for us? And then we went to a trade show called ASD, and we spent, it was kind of funny because like it wasn't a good fit for us. Like we were walking around the trade show. We didn't really know what we wanted. We had scanned the product to see what the sales rank was, how much margin we would have. And then we tried to negotiate, but it wasn't a comfortable thing for us. And ultimately we ended up buying a bunch of products that weren't researched as well as they should be. And we lost money. And I remember going back to the office, and I was sitting there thinking, it's like, holy crap, man. Like, we just literally can't make money outside of grinding our lives away. Like we just don't know how to do it. And I looked at Eric and I was like, man, I just want to carry this one product. I picked some product up off my desk. And I was like, why do I have to call 55 distributors to see who carries this thing? And Eric was like, well, why don't we just call the company and maybe they could tell us. So we called the company, and, whenever we reached out, they were like, I'd love to set up I'd love to carry your guys' product. I'm a retailer. We sell online. Could you tell me which distributors carry your product? And they were like, well, we're happy to set you up an account directly with us and let you purchase the product directly. And we were like, what? That's a possibility. And then we expected, you know, the next logical question was, so how much do we have to buy? And we expected this to be an astronomical amount, like, you know, to work directly with the manufacturer. And they were like, oh, you know, for our retailers, we have minimum orders of $250. And it's like,
that's what? Crazy low. Yeah.
Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
Their price. Yeah. Like we got the price list. The prices were good. They had discount tiers that let us make even more money. So we end up placing like a $500, $700 order. Product comes in, we ship it out and start making money. And it was like, oh, wow. So it's this easy. So our next track was to find all these cool products that we might want to carry and start contacting manufacturers and say, hey, like, you know, we would love to carry your product and just try to replicate that process. But we ran into more resistance. Like, we found our next hurdle, and it was, you know, we would call these manufacturers and they would say, yeah, like, we're not looking for any other Amazon sellers. We have no interest in doing business with you. And it was like, you know, why? Like, I want to buy your product. And they were like, well, our product's already being sold, man. Like, we've already got sufficient coverage in the Amazon channel. If you're telling me you're taking me to a new channel or something like that, I'd be happy to open you up. But I don't want to, you know, I don't want to overcrowd that channel. And I was, and a lot of Amazon sellers hear about this kind of thing. And it was what those guys were saying made sense, but it didn't make sense to me at the time. And what they were saying is, we don't want to put so much competition on our listings that it creates a race to the bottom situation where sellers aren't incentivized to have our best interest in mind. And that's what they were really saying. But to me, it was, they were just missing out on sales, right? Like, they weren't selling me a product when they could. And, you know, as I called more companies, I started hearing that more and more. And there was this one company that I was really excited about. And it's like a supplement line that I had taken. And, you know, I'd had good results with it. I actually liked their product. And I'd sent them an email. And it was kind of funny because I didn't want to send them an email initially. Like, I was trying to get accounts so I'd have references so I wouldn't feel like an idiot when I contacted them. And when I contacted them, they replied, we're not looking for any more Amazon sellers. So I decided to give this guy a call. When I called him, the regional sales guy answered the phone. I still remember his name is Bob's. And this was, you know, four or five years ago. And Bob said, yeah, he's like, yeah, man, I would love to, you know, I'd love to work with you. It's nothing personal, but we already have great coverage in our Amazon, on our Amazon page. He's like, you know, look at our sellers. We have E-Tails, we have River Colony Trading, we have like all these monsters. It's like three or four huge sellers that were doing $100+ million a year on Amazon. And he was like, so, you know, from that perspective, what can you possibly offer me that I'm not already getting on Amazon? And So I was looking at his listing, and it's funny because, you know, I did know his product in this instance. I was like, Bob, man, I actually know your product. I use your product. I was like, here, I can send you a picture from my cell phone right now of me holding your product. Like, I you know, this is something that's near and dear to my heart. So I actually understand more than most people. And I was like, let's take a minute to look at your listing. And I was like, you know, if you just give me 5 minutes, I can show you why you need my help. So he goes to his listing and he sees his, and to him, it just looks normal because he has no idea what he's looking at. Says the product name, has a picture of the product, and you know, it's for sale and it's been selling well. So all indicators look good. And he's looking at it, he's like, yeah, man, it looks fine to me. I don't see any problems. I was like, all right, now let's go to one of your competitors' pages. And this was a page. It was funny because this brand was a private label brand that was created by a marketer, not just a person selling a product. And the page was completely optimized. It had amazing pictures. It had a great title. It had really vibrant bullets that sold the product. It had an amazing, well thought out listing, like that positioned the product really well. It had great reviews. Like, it took him literally 3 seconds to see the difference. He was like, oh, wow. And I was like, right. So I was like, you know the quality of your product, and I know the quality of your product. But as a consumer, which one do you buy? If you search for this phrase and you see these two listings, which one are you buying? And he was like, I would buy the competitor's product because I wouldn't have a clue. And I said, exactly. And, you know, realistically, you're right. You have the best sellers on Amazon. You have the biggest and most awesome sellers on Amazon, but to them, you're just a number. Like, you know, you're account number 217. And you have a rep that, you know, his day job's 9 to 5. And that's the, and between those hours, he's probably doing a great job, doing the best he can to work with the 50 brands that he works with. But, you know, from my perspective, you're right, man. I've only worked with one other company, but I've worked on Amazon for years and I understand the process. So what you get by working with me is you're my most important client, and I'll make sure this never happens again. I'll make sure that your listing's always up to date, that the ads are always being ran, that, you know, someone is there to care about your customer feedback. And all you have to do is let me carry the product. That's all you have to do. As you sell me the product, you get to make money. And if I don't start making these changes, man, and you start seeing results, just terminate me. Terminate me as a seller. And that guy was honestly happy to move forward there. It was just, he was like, no, I get it. It makes complete sense. So that was our first little model of this, of overcoming an objection. And, you know, what did we do? We went out and we did every single thing we said we would for Bob. And I cultivated an amazing testimonial because that's what people really want. they don't want to know how it's done. The manufacturers, they just want the experience and they want the results that it provides. So, as a new seller, we jockeyed for position and out hustled the largest sellers on Amazon. And that's how our business has been created, is, it's just replicating that process. Once we learned how to provide value there, and we found stumbling blocks, we found, areas where we needed to clarify our message, areas where we needed to make improvements to be able to provide additional value. But over the course of time, that's our goal in the marketplace, is we take existing brands and provide almost a private label touch to them so that they can experience growth on Amazon. And where this really pays dividends is you got to look at what these products are. These products, despite their terrible listings, are already performing. Like, they're already selling really, really well. And it's because they have a built-in audience, a baked-in audience that cares about their products. So when you're starting with that traffic base and you're able to incorporate a lot of the optimization strategies that private label folks use, it creates a real recipe for success in getting new customers to their listing and continuing to develop and grow their brand. And that's ultimately what our business model has turned into over the past, 8 years at this point.
Amazing. So that's quite the story. So I just wanted to let it run because obviously, that's quite the journey. I mean, what's amazing is that you've gone through it. It's so often in life, I think, that what appears to be simple and is simple is not easily arrived at. You've spent a lot of time, sweat, money, stress to try lots of different business models. You tried retail, you tried your own website, you tried the private label thing, and you tried this sort of traditional going to the distributors thing. And so you just basically ended up with a very simple model, which is you go to manufacturers and you offer to optimize their listings. And that's basically, as far as I can tell, it. Now, if I just said it overnight, it would just sound very easy. And I guess compared to the other things you're talking about, it is. But it's amazing how, sometimes if you're the pioneer, you have to go out there. They say pioneers come out with arrows in their backs. It sounds like you've taken your lumps to get to this level of simplicity. So although it is a simple business model, it's arrived at through a lot of trying the other things, which is really, really critical, because everything sounds good on the surface of it, but you've actually been there and tested it, which is the difference, I think. One thing, therefore, I want to talk to you about now is we'll get into how to do this, I think, in our next episode, because we're just going to go crazy long otherwise. But what I'd love to do is just still have that big picture to start with, to put it in its rightful place. How does it compare to other Amazon sourcing models specifically then? So you've talked about your experience of arbitrage, your private label. Can we sort of summarize that into comparison points for people who are considering various different models of how to monetize Amazon?
Sure. No, I mean, if you look at the models like retail and online arbitrage, like the they are scalable. They're just difficult to scale. Like, they don't have the same output in terms of scale, right? Like, because everything you do is direct input. So if you go get a product or you go scout a product, you actually physically go do that. You place, if it's online, you're researching your products to place an order. And it's just incredibly hard to scale. And there's a lot of limitations there. Like, number one, there are brands that don't want you to carry their product and will file, infringement claims and all the other issues. Number two, there's just so many individual decisions, and it's not based on a replenishable thing. Like, in my model, in wholesale, whenever I find a product, like, I have to do that same upfront work to find good products. But once I find one, it continues to be successful for years, right? Like, I place my initial order, we sell through that product, and the next step in the process is picking up the phone and saying, hey, I would love another order of this product. So it's, it reduces the complexity of your supply chain versus to traditional retail and online arbitrage, and really streamlines that into a scalable series of processes. So that's one of the biggest benefits versus that model. And, I would lump other models in there, like thrifting and stuff like that, because they have similar issues in their supply chain. Anytime that you're not consistently reordering the same product, you're having to do a lot more analysis, and it's a lot more inefficient. Now, if you look at it versus, say, a model like private label, I think they're relatively virtually the same model, except that private labelers have to have an additional set of skills. They have to be able to create a good listing. They have to be able to effectively market and launch that listing to drive traffic to it. Whereas in wholesale, I start with an existing listing. I start with an existing a baseline for sales. And I just simply try to expand that, right? I'm not creating my IP. I'm not bringing a new product to the market. Like, I'm literally taking something that exists and just makes it better. So it's, you know, private label, I think, has a lot of upside. Like, you have the ability to create your brand, but there's a lot of volatility and there's a lot of risk. Like, you know, all brands you create don't work out. And the upfront investment cost into those brands can be massive sometimes. Like, if you're, you know, in a lot of instances, one of my really good friends has a pretty substantial private label business. They do about $20 million a year. And I asked him, you know, what is your typical success rate on a product? And he said, well, if you define, you know, you can define success varying ways. Like, we can say that we recover funds. He said, that's a different level of success, or that we continue carrying the products for a long period of time afterwards and they produce profit. And he said, if you look at that, he said, that's kind of our barometer for success, is what makes it past that 6 month point for us. And he said, it ultimately is about 25% of the products. Now, the payoff on those products is big. Like, you know, whenever he has one that continues to roll for 6 months, a year, 2 years, like, the payoff is massive on those products, and he owns the IP related to it. But to get there, generally he spends, you know, he said an average product to launch a product on average cost him between $10,000 and $15,000. So he's spending $30,000 to $45,000 in discovery on average to hit his mark of creating a successful product. And bear in mind that they've done this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. And that's been their success rate. So, you know, from that perspective, there's just extra skills that are required. Like, I'm always starting with a base in wholesale, and my capital requirements are so much less that if you have those skills, if you have the skills to be successful in private label, those translate directly because you're applying them to the brands you're working with. Now, you know, I think the difference, the complications in the model for a lot of private labelers that would be looking at this would be that, you know, that you're competing for the buy box, and that's it. If you're looking at it on the face, that presents a problem, right? But really, we don't compete for the buy box. Like, the vast majority of brands I work with, I'm one of sellers, one of our sellers, and there are rules in place to prevent price fluctuation because they care about how their product's perceived. They don't want their product sold like a commodity. They want their product to, you know, to retain its value. So whenever you're investing into those brands that really kind of protect their IP and care about their presence, you don't see that same shift. Like, I can look at a listing and say, all right, there are three sellers here, including myself. I'm roughly speaking, I'm going to get about a third of the sales if our price is the same. So whenever we're working with those types of brands, like, I can take that sales number and just immediately discern what my equity is, like what part of that, those sales that I'm going to own. And it makes it, you know, from our perspective, it makes it a very, very easy cash flow business because I look at something, I say, okay, my cash outlay here is, you know, say $2,000 and my return on investment is, you know, 30%, for example, which means, you know, within a month's period of time, I turn $2,000 into $2,600 and I just replicate that process over and over and over. And that's the simplicity in our model, right? Like, for a private labeler to expand their business, they have to go out, they have to create an entirely new line, go through that launch process. And you know, whether the product's successful or not, that's, you know, it's a hell of an investment. Whereas let's say that, you know, my process, I go look for a product, I find a product I like, I call the manufacturer. They're like, all of our current manufacturers are based inside the United States. So we're not importing. Now, same's true. Like, we've worked with UK brands and Canadian brands and Chinese brands. Like, we've worked with the full gamut, but you can build your business the way you want. And so we contact a domestic brand, say, hey, we'd love to carry this product. And typically, that product is, we're able to place an order, you know, once we're able to get the account, we're able to place an order within a day and have that product at the Amazon warehouses within the week. So our time to market is literally, from finding a product to selling the product is typically 7 days, which is, you know, a much shorter than your typical private label window. Another thing is, my order is literally only a month's worth of inventory. I'm not having to invest into ads. I'm not having to invest into all the other stuff. So whenever, you know, I place a $2,000 for order for product and my expected return is $2,600, like, I hit really close to that mark every single time because I know my cost. I know what I sell the product for, and I know that I'm not having to absorb other costs in the interim. So it makes it a lot cleaner in terms of scaling and creating cash flow. I think it's also the kind of like a, you know, for the people that are really good at private label, and for what it's worth, like I feel like we've got those skills now. Like we have products in the pipeline and stuff like that too. But it's taken years to develop. And even if we become let's say we become amazing private labelers tomorrow, I would continue to do wholesale. And it provides such a diversity into our portfolio. Like it really does manage a lot of our risk, but it's also just such an easy cash flow engine. It's like, even if you're a great private labeler, what are you doing constantly? You're looking for private label opportunities. Bear in mind, every time you look past a product, every time you skip over a product, that's a wholesale opportunity that you could be capitalizing on and making money on potentially within 7 days. And realizing, you know, amazing returns. When you're talking about potentially 30 and 40% a month over month returns on your cash, like that's a substantial growth option for your business. Now, another thing that a lot of private labelers do inside of our community is a lot of the goal for private label is to create the product on Amazon and then develop traffic outside of Amazon to solidify the brand, like maybe through your own Shopify site or something like that. So a lot of the folks that are in that brand development phase, they don't have enough products to fill out a store. So what they do is they would create their Shopify store centered around their product, and then fill in gaps with wholesale products that fit and are able to support the sales of their product. So it's, you know, for us, it's always I just see our model as one of those models that you can create based on systems that can support pretty much any existing business and provide a scalable avenue to grow.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few. Then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.